Very happy to be joined today by Mark Conroy, who is our first live guest in the program. Mark is part of Extinction Rebellion, and one of the reasons that we have Mark on the program is basically the solidarity campaign around in solidarity with Violent Coco and Brad Homewood, who have basically faced the threat of a jail sentence for protesting for the climate. So good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
So, can you give us a bit of a background on this case against Violet and Brad, and of course, you know, why it's important, also in terms of, you know, why it's important to take an action in the response to the climate emergency?
Yeah, I can certainly do that. So, assuming a fair bit of familiarity with the fact that we're in a terrible climate and ecological emergency. So Violet and Brad are both members of Extinction Rebellion, and in that capacity they drove a truck onto the Westgate Bridge on the 5th of March and parked it across three lanes, jumped on top of it with another protester and unfurled a banner that said, "Declare climate emergency." And Climate Code Red, which is a phrase that's come out of the IPCC reports. So obviously this caused a great deal of disruption to incoming traffic into the city. And the reason they've done this is basically informed by the core principles of Extinction Rebellion, which is that what's needed to force action on the climate emergency is for ordinary people to stand up and disrupt business as usual. And so they've done that in fairly dramatic fashion, it must be said, and pleading guilty before a magistrate that evening, they were immediately sentenced to 21 days imprisonment. Their fellow protester didn't enter a plea at that time, so it remains to be seen how he'll be dealt with by the courts. But, Violet and Brad were immediately sentenced to 21 days imprisonment. Brad lodged an appeal and was denied bail while awaiting that appeal. Violet did the same a few days later and was granted bail by a different magistrate. But only for a few days, because the appeal was held on Tuesday, this last Tuesday, the 19th, under Judge David Sexton, who saw fit to impose an increased sentence of 2 months imprisonment on both Violet and Brad for their participation in this action. So, I don't know if you want to pause there, or I can say a bit more about why we gallivant about on roads as a response to the climate emergency.
Well, yeah, Mark, Zane here. I just wanted to comment on that original, or get your thoughts on the first hearing on the day of the protest. And I don't know if it was the judge or the magistrate, whatever the legal pointy head person was. They described the protest as, quote, catastrophic. And the first thing that came to my mind is, wow, you think a truck parked on the Westgate Bridge is catastrophic? Wait until you see what runaway climate change looks like.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a point that we would make. We don't relish causing disruption to the public, but we see that time has run out to pursue action through kind of, you know, traditional political channels, if that was ever going to work in the first place. And so by causing disruptions like these, obviously we draw a lot of negative attention to ourselves. But what we're trying to do is prompt conversations and prompt thinking in people's minds when they, try and understand why we're doing what we're doing, and the contrast between, it was the biggest disruption XR Vic has ever caused, but nevertheless, still a couple of hours of disruption on a Tuesday morning versus a world of floods and fires and famines and refugee crises and wars over resources and, yeah, not being able to grow food, and so that's part of the thinking behind doing what we do, is to draw that contrast.
Yeah. Hello, Mark. I'm Rob, also one of the presenters of the program, and I cannot help and see what you think of this. I cannot help compare the way that the police treat Extinction Rebellion protesters compared to the way they treat Palestinian protesters. It's just like completely different. I stumbled across one of the Extinction Rebellion protests about, I must have been a month or so ago, and the coppers were just basically going in military formation, six at a time. It was just, to watch this was just like really sickening in the stomach. And then at the end of all of that, some of the Extinction Rebellion protesters tried to escape, and a number of them came into Young and Jackson's, where I happened to be observing the whole thing. And you know, the coppers actually came into Young and Jackson's to arrest the people that got away. So can you tell us things from your perspective on that situation?
Well, the police response to Extinction Rebellion has been really quite varied and unpredictable in a pretty unhelpful way. We tend to operate in campaigns, and so I think probably what you saw was the culmination of our December campaign. And so, for instance, that week we were doing slow marches along the CBD streets every day that week. The first morning they facilitated the march and let us be on the road for 45 minutes, and then that afternoon, that very same afternoon, they wouldn't allow us even on the road to cross the road at a pedestrian crossing. They had the wall of cops and were pushing us back, and it's quite perplexing in a way, because we sort of go out of our way to be pretty non-threatening in Extinction Rebellion. It's kind of part of our vibe, I suppose. Like we tend to be pretty peaceful, and you know, we sing songs and dress up in costumes. So it is remarkable that the police have seen fit to behave with such aggression so many times, and then also to not, which really makes it hard to make our members aware of what to expect on the streets.
And so, Mark, I want to get into kind of like the question of because Extinction Rebellion is running a solidarity campaign with Brad and Violet Coco. And I guess I want to kind of hear about how can people kind of support this solidarity campaign, and also how can people, you know, support why it's also important to support, you know, the right of client protesters.
Yeah, thanks. I guess we're sort of cranking up a bit of a solidarity campaign. This is the first time that Extinction Rebellion Victoria has had this happen to our members. It has happened, well, actually, it's happened to Violet before in Sydney. So our efforts are sort of just hitting the ground. There's a few sort of material things that people can do. We've set up chuffed fundraisers to cover living expenses for our imprisoned activists, especially Brad, who's paying rent on a place at the moment and unable to work, obviously. So you can find the details of that on the Exile Vic socials or in our newsletter if you go to ozrebellion.earth. There's a Friday vigil that we've been running weekly for almost 40 weeks now on the steps of Parliament. So I guess if you're in the city, head on over to Parliament. That runs from 8 till 12. And that's got a newly particular focus on solidarity with Brad and Violet. We'll be hosting letter writing days where people can join us at our space in Abbotsford to sort of group write some letters of support to Brad and Violet. If you can't make a day, then details of how to send them a letter also available on our socials and in our newsletter. And I would expect that we will see a rally organized very soon. We're sort of getting together tomorrow and Sunday to sort of plot out in more detail the sorts of things that we can do. We've also seen a letter of support from some civil society organizations, groups like Melbourne Activist Legal Support, Australian Democracy Network. I think it's called Pax Christi Victoria. So I guess if there's any listeners who are involved or have any sway in civil society organizations, signing on to that or writing your own letters to the Premier and to the Attorney General would be a means of support as well. And otherwise, just getting the word out. I mean, it's pretty dastardly. We know some people who are involved in the Franklin River Dam campaign back in the 70s, and they've all said that if the treatment that's meted out to environmental protesters today was enforced back then the campaign never would have won. And we are seeing a global pattern of increasing repression of climate protests. Mm. You know, not to be overly conspiratorial, but like it does seem there's some coordination going on here. We've heard recently about the Atlas Network, which is this sort of global network of think tanks that influences policy all around the world. And I really don't mean to sound like a conspiratorial person. I mean, do your own research. These guys are the real deal. And we are witnessing more and more people turning to things like nonviolent civil disobedience and disruptive protests generally to make their voices heard, because not enough is being done on the climate emergency, and we can see that our future is being sold out and that we're basically being condemned to starve and kill each other by the greed of our so-called leaders. And these people are being thrown in prison, and these people are being heavily penalized or hit with really restrictive bail conditions that keep them off the streets and away from their networks and friends for years at a time, even when the charges are ultimately dropped. And so it's a mounting coordinated campaign to silence people standing up for their future. And the only way to push back against it is to make a lot of noise about it and to join us, you know, fill in the ranks of those that we've lost, or those who've been taken out of action one way or another. Don't let us go down, and don't let our future die.
Zane?
Yeah, it's just a bit of a side note, I guess. Well, it's not a conspiracy to observe that, whether it's coming from the Atlas Foundation or it's just the general kind of vibe of conservative elements within the political and judicial system. It's just a fact that there's been a lot of anti-protest laws and criminalisation of dissent at a state and federal level across Australia over the last probably 5, 10, even going back as far as the anti-terror laws. And I saw that Blockade Australia, there were some people targeted by like paramilitary police unit who came to a retreat that they were doing in Sydney. They were dressed up in military ghillie suits. Blockade Australia people said, who the hell are these weirdos in military gear? And tracked them down and then said, who are you? And these cops, my understanding is under the law, they should have said, we are police. But they didn't. They wouldn't say who they are. And then a car came to pick them up, and then they nearly ran over Blockade Australia people. So, yeah, I think it's spot on to, and it's not conspiratorial at all to point out the criminalisation of protest. One observation for me was Violet Coco did an update on her Facebook, and she had an interesting insight from the prison, and she said, prison is such a sad place. 80% of the women in here are domestic violence and rape survivors, and, you know, using drugs is a coping mechanism. These people should be supported, not criminalised. And I just thought that was a really interesting kind of insight. And there's other programs here on 3CR that talk about, you know, the number of women in prison and then the lack of housing options for people when they get out of prison. That was a really interesting insight I found, and I'm sure that Violet will kind of extend on that. I'm just wondering if you've got any thoughts on that, Mark.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been to prison myself as well after vandalizing the lodge in 2021. I spent 8 days in the Canberra prison, and The men's side, I suppose, is a bit different to the women's side, but the commonality is that the people in there are damaged and in, by and large, damaged and in need of help. And, or they're in there because they were in need of help, at a really difficult time in their lives and they were not able to get it in any other way than breaking the law. I know that Violet and Brad hold very strong, abolitionist positions around prison, and I think that's shared fairly widely amongst our movement and certainly amongst those of us who've been there. Yeah, there has got to be another way. And yeah, I mean, I don't know what more to add than what Violet has said and what I know she will say when she gets out, is that, you know, just the outrage of locking up climate protesters is one thing, but there's this broader and deeper issue of, dare I say, societal rot, where, you know, we have a system that treats people who can't function within its very narrowly defined, you know, set of rules and according to its narrowly defined set of interests. It treats those people with absolute contempt, destroys their lives, and then throws them in a box when it turns out they're not able to function. And you know, it's symptomatic of a broad mindset that sort of underlies our society. This insistence on, you know, running the key, you know, capitalist and consumerist machine is the highest priority, and it destroys lives, it pushes people into poverty and desperate situations, as well as ruins the planet, dispossesses people of their land, as has happened here in Australia for hundreds of years and around the world. We have, the world is run by these bastards who have set up this entire edifice of oppression, that, you know, I think the destruction of the planet and the ruining of our climate, and the threat, like the apocalyptic threat that poses to human civilization, is merely just the most sort of, you know, dramatic, but also the logical endpoint of this system of exploitation that rules the world.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mark. We just have to wrap up this interview. But, yeah, thank you so much for being on our program. And, yeah, all the solidarity to Violet and Brad. And, yeah, I think I think it's just very important that I think the whole climate movement and anyone who's concerned about civil liberties and the future of the climate should get behind this campaign to support Violet and Brad.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jacob, and to all at Green Left Weekly, and I'll see you on the street sometime.
Word.
Right, thank you very much, Mark.
Cheers.
All right, we're just speaking to Mark from Extinction Rebellion about the severe kind of repression against climate protests and the fact that notable climate activists Brad and Violet Coco have been sentenced with jail sentences for protesting for the climate. I'm just going to go play a quick announcement, and we've actually got another guest coming in, so I'm just going to go play a quick announcement and we'll get them on. You're listening to Green Left Radio.
The media in this country, we as Indigenous people know, have censored our right of telling the truth, and the truth is what this country is most fearful of, in particular Indigenous truths. Until history is told by the vanquished lens, which is our people telling our story our way, and have the right to be able to incorporate that into a system of learning, well, people are always going to be denied that truth by deceit and lies. When you look at the type of psychological warfare and spiritual warfare that Aboriginal people are caught in, it's not just in the sense of military when they talk about weapons of mass destruction, but you're right, it's in terms of the media, and the industry of media is a warfare against our people, and so is religion, I believe, in the Western sense. They're all weapons of mass destruction against our people.
We need to keep radical voices on air. Subscribe now.
Go to 3cr.org.au/subscribe or call the station on 9419 8377.